I'm David Osler, and I was born in Salt Lake City, Utah, and I'm proud to be a Utah Jazz fan.
All right.
Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. I'm excited to have David Osler on the show. David has written a new book called Bridges, and it's a fantastic book. If you don't have it, you should buy it. We're going to be talking about this book, and it deals with how to minister to those who question. Now, I don't consider myself one who questions the truth claims of the church, but there are some who do. And so David talks about what are the reasons that these people leave and what are some things that can be done about it. So it's going to be a fun conversation, and I encourage you all to check it out. So check out our conversation. Welcome to Gospel Tangents Podcast. I have a really awesome guests, but for those of you who are tuning in at home, you're probably surprised to see me on camera because this is my first two-camera shoot. And so go ahead and introduce yourself.
Rick, I'm David Osler, and I'm just kind of like a regular Joe. I'm not sure quite how to introduce myself.
No, I think you're more than a regular Joe.
I was born in Salt Lake City a long time ago. I'm presently living in Falls Church, Virginia, with my family. We're retired, and we've got a lot of our children nearby. I have a very traditional Latter-day Saint background. Grew up in the church. I think I graduated from seminary. I went on a mission. I went to Southern Japan on my mission.
Oh, nice. Now, which high school did you go to?
You know, that Rick, that's a question that I've learned gets asked in Utah and like nowhere else, but I went to Highland High School.
Highland High School, we beat them. In the state playoffs.
In what sport?
In basketball.
In basketball.
We were the state champs. They were our first round that we knocked them out.
So. I'm not
so
surprised.
So you're a Ram.
I'm a Highland Ram.
All right.
And then I went to the University of Utah.
Yeah, go Utes.
Go Utes. And I still follow them a little bit in football, not so much in some of the other sports, but I like to watch a little bit of college football. Mm-hmm. And then after I graduated from the University of Utah, and I was married, we had a child, we went back east to go to graduate school. I have a master's of business from Dartmouth College in New Hampshire.
Oh, wow.
So, and we stuck out there for a long time. We came with one child, and we had another five while we were there.
Wow.
We have two foster daughters that we raised and met and joined our family while we were there. So we had kind of a rich, busy, family life in New Hampshire.
Oh, nice.
And
now,
since...
Here's another little thing. I lived in New Hampshire for 4 years. Four.
And where did you live? You have the great New Hampshire accent.
Yeah, so I lived there between about 5th and 8th grade. My dad worked for the Air Force, and he said he didn't want to live in Taxachusetts, so we lived in New Hampshire.
Yeah. So you were down on the coast?
Well, no, not really. I was in the Manchester, the Manchester Stake originally, mm-hmm. and then it became the Nashua Stake, and then I think, I don't know what's happened, it's been a long time, but...
Yeah.
So I'm very familiar with that area. So.
Yeah. It's a great place to live. And, the mosquitoes are rather large, but
that's for sure.
Other than that, and the cold winters, they get kind of cold.
They are very cold.
But we loved our time there. We lived there almost 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And since that time, we've lived a lot of different places. We've moved around a bit. We spent some time living in Sandy, Utah, and then Minnesota. And then we had an assignment that took us to London and then came back to Virginia, and that's when I retired. And since that time, we've lived in India for a year doing some humanitarian work. And then, my wife and I were called to preside over the Sierra Leone mission in West Africa.
Wow.
So we lived there until Ebola closed our mission.
Oh, really?
And then came back to Virginia and then also did a mission up in church historic sites in Palmyra, where I was the director of the visitor center and the historic sites there with my wife.
Yeah.
So we've had a lot of different experiences and lived a lot of different places. And now we live where most of our children do in Virginia and enjoying retirement and life there.
Well, awesome. I'm excited. The John Whitmer Historical Association meetings are in Rochester, which isn't too far from Palmyra,
sure.
I understand. So
I think I went there as a kid, but I don't remember too much, and so I'm excited to go as an adult. It's gonna be fun. So.
Yeah, they're fun, and you know it was really neat being there because we'd get to see all sorts of different life experiences of members of the church that would come there. You know, we saw young men and young women who just got their mission call, and they were going and they were coming to the historic sites, kind of with their family for the last time before their mission. And it would be neat for them to think about what happened there, and then on their missions, talking and teaching about kind of those early church events.
So and I believe it was, and I'm trying to remember her name, the tattooed Mormon. She has a story about Palmyra.
Oh, does she?
I'm trying to remember her name.
Al Caraway.
There you go, Al Caraway. That's right. You didn't get to meet her while you were
no,
there.
No.
I'll have to get her on.
Yeah, she'd be fun for your show.
She's definitely a fun speaker. So, well, awesome. Well, so you've got a new book out. Why don't you go ahead and show us your book? You've got yours all marked up, I can see.
Yeah, I'm kind of old, and so I can't remember where I wrote stuff, and so I've tabbed it up in case I need to find stuff. But I never thought I'd write a book, Rick. My career was in business. Mm-hmm. I know how to write a business case and, you know, a PowerPoint presentation. And I ended up writing a book, and I think it surprised everyone who's known me. But
well, it's a great book. Can I just say that?
Thank you.
Now, isn't today the day that it's released officially?
We're releasing it tomorrow at the Fair
tomorrow.
Mormon Conference.
So I'm a day early. Okay.
You're a day early, but it's available for sale. So.
Yeah. So I feel lucky because Lloyd gave me a couple copies, so I've even gotten the advanced copies. So that's awesome. So the other thing that I think is interesting that we kind of share a little bit. So I know Kurt Frankum from the Leading Saints podcast talked to you a few months ago, or maybe it was a year ago. I don't remember.
Yeah, we've had a couple of conversations.
Yeah, and so I loved, and I teach statistics here at Utah Valley University, and I loved the fact that you used statistics as part of your study, which I think was just fantastic, and I was eating that up.
Well, thanks, and you'll understand the limitations of what I did.
Yeah.
But you know, when I started studying faith crisis, disaffiliation, my own background, it's in evidence-based medicine. So, you know, it's like, what does the data say? It's the first question we ask. Mm-hmm. So I spent time trying to understand what we knew about the problem, what people had written, what studies had been done, what data had been collected. Like most problems, we all have impressions about a particular area, but when we go in and study it systematically, mm-hmm. sometimes we find those impressions are not entirely accurate. And for my own life, and you know, that's been the case often, but certainly with this topic, I found it to be the case. So I wanted to, as I learned about this for myself, and then ultimately as I wrote the book, to make sure that I had the best information that could be brought on it, and where it wasn't available, to see what I could do to create more information there. And so with regards to Leading Saints and Kurt Frankum, we were able to, using the leaders that subscribed to his newsletter, mm-hmm. to be able to survey them and understand what local leaders thought about faith crisis, issues of faith, how they were responding and the like. And so that's been a kind of a fun thing for me to get to know Kurt and that community
a little bit.
Kurt's
a great guy. I can't speak highly enough of Kurt. Yeah. He's a good guy. Well, cool. So I know your book's broken up into three sections. Can you tell us a little bit about section one? I will say I think most of my, you know what? This has been the funny thing. Most of my people, I think, understand a faith crisis, but I do have some non-LDS listeners, which always surprises me, but awesome. Thanks for listening. But I think there are some people who the book's really for that probably don't listen to my podcast. And I think that's what sections one is all about. Would you agree with that? Kind of explaining what a faith crisis is? Because I think a lot of leaders don't really understand. So could you tell us a little bit, you know, and I know most of us probably know, but for those, you know, especially bishops and stake presidents who don't really understand it as well, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, what I felt I needed to do was to talk about how today is really different. And there are some differences that are going on than when I grew up and when I was a church leader. I was a church leader pretty young back in New Hampshire.
In the 80s and 90s, I was bishop, as a young man, and then became the stake president. And the issues that I faced in context of my calling then are just very different than they are now. And so I felt like I needed to lay out what we knew about religious disaffiliation in the world, or at least in the Western world generally, and then also talk about the church. And there's some trends that affect today in a different way. So there is certainly the rise of the internet, which I think impacts faith two ways. One is it gives available information to anyone who wants it in somewhat of an uncontrolled and unfiltered way. So if you've got an issue, you can go on the internet and likely find someone else who can give you an opinion, an answer, a direction, commiseration, or whatever about that particular issue. So if you're concerned about a historic event in the church, you can go there and you can find lots written about it. And when I grew up, that wasn't the case. I had to go to a library or someplace to be able to find information out that was not readily available in church materials.
It was just too much work. Most people didn't do it, probably.
Right. And then the second is that the internet allows people to affiliate in kind of virtual communities, whether they're social media communities or whatever. So if I've got a concern about the church, I can find other people that have that same concern about the church, and we can talk. And sometimes that's helpful, sometimes that's not helpful, but there's that option that it didn't exist. I couldn't go to my neighbors geographically, right, and knock on their doors and say, which of you has this concern? But I can go on the internet and I can find that. And so that's affected faith probably for all religions, but it certainly has affected it for Latter-day Saints, where perhaps a lack of awareness of all of the kind of complexities of our history haven't been available to people. They are now, and there are settings where people can go and they can talk about them. And so what's different today is that there is in society also a much more acceptance of people who disaffiliate from religion. And there's also a much more individual direction that people can decide to go without some of the social and societal costs. So we wanted to lay these issues out. And for the church as a whole, it affects us like it does every other religion. We have more disaffiliation now than probably at any time in the church. It affects not just our youth, but it also affects our young adults and even people at my age where they disaffiliate. We have a rising group of people that would rather be spiritual but not attached to an institution of religion, and that's more permissible now. And so kind of helping leaders understand that today is different and that they need to rethink their background and understanding why people might disaffiliate was a very important thing for me to do. I think sometimes, church leaders, local church leaders in particular, are not aware that disaffiliation can happen the way it does. Local leaders look out over their congregations and they're concerned about ministering and helping them, but it's not visible to them kind of these long-term trends that have affected retention and loyalty towards church membership. You don't see that from Sunday to Sunday. You see it from year to year and decade to decade. And so I think it was helpful to kind of talk to them about that there is increased disaffiliation, and to talk about some of the underlying societal and unique issues inside the church.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with David Osler. In our next conversation, we'll talk about some things he's noticed that happen at church that can lead active members to feel ostracized.
And I realized that for many people that are in a crisis or don't feel that they can be authentic at church, maybe that's what you're more describing, right?
Exactly.
That isolation and that separation is really very difficult and sometimes threatens even their desire to participate because we have such strong feelings about spiritual things.
If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please support Gospel Tangents and become a subscriber. For just $5 a month, go to patreon.com/gospeltangents and you can hear the entire interview. And you can also get transcripts available in either our Amazon website, or if you want to give the money to me and not Amazon, please subscribe on my website at gospeltangents.com and you can click the yellow subscribe button. Of course, we're also on Facebook, Twitter, and all the other places. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. And don't forget to click here to subscribe on YouTube, here for a transcript. And over here, we've got some more of our great videos. Thanks again for listening.